So when those moments happen, I always look up and I go, you are so good. Wow. Wow, you are good, Lord. So I think that when we give him the glory in all instances, it pleases him. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father, streaming down from the heavenly realms, who does not change like shifting shadows.
Compassion International is a ministry I dearly love. They're doing such good work all over the world to help release kids from poverty in Jesus' name. Many children have been waiting over a year for a sponsor. Maybe you've never considered sponsorship before, but I hope that you will. Please know that it's much more than a financial commitment. It is a relationship that you form. It lets kids know that they are remembered. And I've been there and heard from these children personally when I traveled to El Salvador. And I can tell you that it is a game changer for them to bring them hope in places that feel hopeless. It's a small sacrifice for a lot of us, but it means everything to a child in need. Go to the show notes for the link to do this, to see children who need sponsorship right now, or compassion.com/Joe. And as a thank you for your sponsorship, we're going to send you my book, Whole, as a free gift. I feel like in some way, nearly everyone has a connection with you. Either they watched you in recent years on Today or on Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, or maybe even way back on Name That Tune.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever get tired of people saying, I saw you on, or yeah, I remember this about you? No?
No, because when people remember you, it means that you were memorable. And that's a lovely thing. And I've never taken that for granted. I've always seen that as, wow, Lord, really? I was doing something that somebody actually remembers or cared about or touched them. Or no, when people tell me that, I am just reminded of God's faithfulness. Because my life, and as I bet if I talk to you very long about your own life, it would be about God's faithfulness to you, not the other way around.
Yes.
And so when people come, and it is every day, it is a daily thing, and I've gotten used to it, of course, through the years. But right. I always take it as like the nicest compliment in the world, because they let me into their life. Yeah. And they let me into their hearts in many ways. And I wouldn't have the career I've had. I wouldn't be where I still am, you know, in demand for all kinds of different things that I never dreamed at this point in my life I'd be in demand for. I mean, I'm like the new Betty White, it seems.
I love that you're still in demand. Like, I think that's fantastic. Right? I mean, really,
yeah,
though.
It's not because I put myself out there and say, please hire. We'll sing for work or whatever.
You're trying to hide out, right? They just keep wanting to hire you.
Well, yeah. I'm just trying to continue to live an authentic life in Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I've never been or pretended to be anything I'm not. Nobody's mm-hmm. ever been more surprised at the success that I got through the years as I was. My daddy used to say to me, honey, find something you love to do and then figure out a way to get paid for it. So I just thought, you know, from the first time I played a squirrel in first grade or something, and in the sixth graders' team, you know, it was their yeah. show, but I got to be a squirrel with the sixth graders, you know, and it's just, I was just happy to be there doing what I love doing, which was creating and performing and all of that. And I think we put so much pressure on our kids today to be this, be that, graduate from an Ivy League school and da-da-da-da-da. And yep. we never let a kid dream their own dreams. Mm. And those dreams are woven inside us in our own mother's wombs. Yeah. And that's sacred stuff. I never wanted to mess with my kids' dreams. That's God's business. I want to help their dreams come true. That's my dream. That's my purpose as yeah. a parent. But not superimpose my dreams on my children. And too many parents do that, and their kids are miserable. Yep. Let them dream their own God-given dreams.
Yeah, that's so, so good. Mm-hmm. Well, so I'm one of those people who will then say, you're gonna think it's funny. I was in the audience at Live with Regis and Kathy Lee when Cody was a baby. And now,
he has a baby. Yes.
Right. So we have to talk about Frankie for a minute. Can we do that?
Oh my gosh, this kid has his own fan club already. It's unbelievable. He's like Bam Bam Flintstone. He can already practically already walk. It's unbelievable, this kid.
Of course.
No, I'm not kidding. This kid held up his head on the... I met him on his third day of life because he was very premature, right? Well, not very, but he was 3 weeks early. None of us were planning on being there around the time because we thought, well, we got him, you know, a couple of... She'll probably be late. Right. It's the first baby.
Right.
No, he came 8 pounds, 8 ounces and holding his head up, literally, wow. when I first... And now... And he's 7 weeks today, but... when I was home about 3 weeks ago, he says, Mom, you got to see this. Mom, is this normal? You got to see this. I walk in and Cody, you know, they have skin on skin thing now with babies. Your parents are supposed to be, you know, skin against their child's skin. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But so Cody's laying there with his sweats on, his pants, sweatpants, but he's, you know, he's naked from his belly button up to his, you know, face.
Right. The skin thing.
The skin thing. And so the baby, Frankie, he says, watch this, Mom. And he puts Frankie's little head down near his belly button, and he goes, watch. And he puts his hands to the side in case anything happens. And that kid crawls to his father's neck. I said, he's a baby Navy SEAL. It's unbelievable. He gets up and then turns over. He's been turning around and crawling since he was 5 weeks old.
Wow.
And I'm going, okay, well, it sort of makes sense. Frank Gifford was a world-class athlete. Cody's an excellent athlete. His wife's a ballerina and a dancer. So, all right. Yep. But five, I've said, oh, my gosh. So anyway, we're in for that, but it's so much fun. He's such a sweetie. He's beautiful. So we're enjoying him very much.
Can you get anything done, or are you always thinking about this baby now? You're probably wanting to see him all the time.
Well, I live in Tennessee, and they're living at our house in Connecticut for the time being. So okay. I see him about once a month, and I get to go again next week, and that's plenty. I want to give him. I've never been one of those hovering. Gotta have my, you know, ever. I never thought I'd have children. I had them later in life. I was 36 when I had Cody. I was 40 when I had Cass. Mm-hmm. And I am now 60, almost 9, at my first grandchild. So I just see it all as grace and God's sweet provision. And I told my kids when they were growing up, I said, after I've raised you and you're 21 years old and you are out on your own, I will not give you my opinion unless you ask for it. I've lost the right at that point, and yet I'm here for you, and whatever you need or you question about or whatever, I'm here, always ever ready, but I will not superimpose again not only my dreams on you, but your will. You know, my daddy used to say to me also, I love you too much to deny you the privilege of making mistakes.
Wow.
So, you know, that's how we grow. That's how we learn. And
yes.
Hard as it is, because we want to keep our children from pain. We want to keep them from need. We want to keep them from trouble. And all those. But Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. And we learn to be more than conquerors when we start to trust him, not just our parents.
Mm.
And I'm going to be gone one day, just like Frank's gone. It'll happen. It'll happen. And some days I wish for it, believe me.
Yes, I hear you.
I truly do. You get to the point where you go, Lord, you know what? I am ready to go home. If this is all you have for me at this point, Lord, if this is it, take me home, Jesus, because I'm ready.
Yeah.
And the day the Christian goes home, or a believer, they don't have to be, I mean, a believer in Yeshua, the day they go home is the greatest day of their life.
Absolutely. And
we treat
it's the better day.
We treat death as this horrible thing.
Yeah.
The day I found my husband gone and in heaven was the greatest day of Frank's life.
Yes.
He was in 8 halls of fame, and he would have traded, he would never have traded where he was in Jesus' arms for any of it, or for us, whom he still loved and didn't want to leave. He was ready to go to church that morning. Well, he went to church.
So good. It's so good, and it's so true. That's the truth, and I find myself thinking about this a lot. You know, my father died in 2017, and I think about the fact that I mourned, and we all mourned, because it's our loss, right?
Right.
But it is
it's
his
gain.
I mean, it is
a triumph. It's the triumph of the Christian life.
it's the best life. And we always, I always say, you know, God took him to his best life. And so I can't mourn for him because he's in the best place ever.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So
yes.
I get all of that. You know, it would take me a long time to read all of your amazing things that God has allowed you to do through your life, 4-time Emmy Award winning former
co-host.
No,
don't even go into all of that stuff. When I see that IDBD thing, whatever that thing is, I don't even know. I just kind of go, oh my gosh, is that true? I did all that stuff.
I know, I'm exhausted. And
I know
because of your humility, you're like, oh, the bios and all those things. And I get it. I have my own feelings about bios myself. But I want to say this because I really actually do have a question that revolves around this.
Okay.
I mean, playwright, screenwriter, producer, singer, songwriter, and actress. I mean, 5-times New York Times bestseller book. So here's my question
for you.
But that
means that the other 24 were not bestsellers. So let's keep that in perspective.
Oh, believe me. I understand completely.
You know what it takes to get on the New York Times bestseller.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes,
oh, the people I slept with. Just kidding.
I love it, Kathy Lee. I'm about to change the way you sleep. I don't say this lightly, it's really true. If you are in the market for literally the world's best sheets, softest, temperature regulating, Cozy Earth is your next purchase. It was voted Oprah's favorite thing 4 years in a row for a reason. Made from bamboo viscose, moisture wicking and 10 times softer than cotton, also responsibly made and sourced. I bought these sheets when we moved into our house because we have had the same mattress for years and couldn't make that big of a financial investment at the moment, but I wanted to have something fresh for our bed. I had heard about Cozy Earth, but was a little bit skeptical until we tried them. I'm telling you, these are the sheets you need. You invest in a couple good pairs and rotate them, and that's all you're going to want or need. My husband is a believer. Everyone I've referred. I have a 40% off code for you right now, Lisa/40. The link and the code is in the show notes. And if you go to the website, you can see the sheets, but also all their other amazing products. So go right now and get in on this. You will not regret it. Okay, so look, but okay, after all of that, because I mean, you've done a lot of things, like God's been good to you, he's allowed you to do all this,
amen.
The co-hosting with Hoda, amazing, and Regis, and all the stuff.
I know.
But after all of that, do you have any other things that you're like, you know, I've always wanted to try, and then fill in the blank?
Well, that's why I'm at the most exciting time in my life right now.
Yeah.
Because everybody said, how could you leave your dream job when you left Regis and you left Hoda and you left? And I said, you guys are assuming that that was my dream job because the world looks at those things as dream jobs.
Yeah.
It's never was my dream job. When I was a young girl growing up, I wrote Walt Disney a letter when I was like 6 or 7 or 8. Something, and I said, you need to meet me. And I said, because I'm known for my expressions, and I know you have, you know, who is it? It's Annette Funicello, and you have Haley Mills and stuff, but I want to do movies with you, and I want to write songs, and I want to put on shows, and I want to be, and it's God love that whoever ran Disney then. I got a form letter back. I didn't know it was a form letter, but I got a letter back from Walt Disney, and it encouraged me. It said, Kathy, thank you so much for your letter. You sound like an amazing young woman, and I hope if you work really hard that someday, yes, we will work together.
Wow.
And darn if I didn't go to work for Walt Disney for, you know, 15 years with Regis, and I did Disney movies, and I did Disney books, and I did all things Disney. My kids grew up there, you know? They grew up on a movie set or whatever for Disney, and on a Carnival cruise ship, because I was working with Carnival during all those years. And you know, it's just exciting that my children got to be a part of everything I did, and they went everywhere with me. I was so grateful that I didn't have to leave my kids in order to keep my career. I was very blessed that way. But I would have given up the career for sure for my kids.
Yeah.
I remember I gave up my first opportunity to do Broadway when I was asked, talk about heady stuff. Blake Edwards and Henry Mancini showed up at my house in Colorado, came during a whiteout storm to come to the top of the mountain and ask me if I would take over for Julie Andrews one night a week in Victor Victoria on Broadway.
Wow.
Because she needed one more day off after, you know, she was at the age where it's a very, difficult role. And and one more night of rest would have just made it. Well, that's the year that she lost her voice, actually, was because I couldn't. I remember praying about it and thinking, oh, my God, all my life I've wanted to do Broadway and Julie Andrews. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's quite an ask.
Yes. And I remember saying, I said to her, and I love Julie. I said, Julie, I cannot believe I'm saying no to Mary Poppins and Maria. But I said, my daughter's only 1 year old. And she's only going to be 1 year old once. And Broadway's always going to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful and honored you would think of me for this, but I can't. And to her credit, God love her, she said, Kathy, I had to make those same choices when my children were young. And I so respect your choice. Mm. You will never regret putting your children first. You will always regret when you don't.
Wow.
And so I think my kids are as balanced and as happy and as... Cassie just left a few minutes ago here. She and her husband live near me in Tennessee now. And so I'm able to see them. I was working with her yesterday on a project. And my son is up there. And, you know, we're working on together some projects. We're producing films together and the other things. And I just, I'm so grateful. But I just do believe it's because that I kept them as normal as I could under unbelievably abnormal circumstances, you know?
Yes, yes.
I raised them to love Jesus, to know that God is their best friend. And they always had, I feel for children who grow up in single parent homes. It's hard enough as it is when you have two parents who love you and are there for you. And you take one thing away from that equation and it's just, yeah, I just have such respect for parents who can do it. It's so hard. First thing every day, just grateful for my children. Know Jesus. There's a scripture, I think it's 4 John, that says, you know, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so good.
Uh-huh.
So good. Well, when you write a song like you did with Nicole C. Mullen in 2017, The God Who Sees, which I'm one of the millions who's seen that. It's exquisite. I loved it. It's so beautiful. Do you feel something immediately like this is going to be special? You just feel it in your bones. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew it because I've written thousands of songs. People don't know me as a songwriter, but that's probably what I've done the most of my whole life.
Yeah.
But they're never really, I don't try to write hit songs, you know, it's just
right.
I write for theater. I write for films. I write, you know, you wouldn't even know if you're watching a movie that, oh, Kathy Lee wrote that. No, you wouldn't know. Cause people wait around for the credits kind of thing.
Right.
But, yeah, it's always been a huge part of my life, and I love writing. I love writing with different people. I didn't even know Nicole when we sat down to write what we thought was going to be a song about Hagar.
Mm.
And she had to go off to Nigeria for ministry, and I had to go back to the Today Show for ministry. And yep. I said, you know what, I'll finish the song. We'll get back together and demo it when we both get back to Nashville. Well, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I kept writing because I've written Broadway shows and off-Broadway shows, and the Lord quickly said to me, Kathy, this, you're not writing a song. You're writing a performance piece. Mm. And so I wrote about Ruth, and then I wrote about David, and then it was about Mary Magdalene, and then I knew it was done. And I was just under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I was in awe of God's creativity and humbled that He uses me. You know, when He gives you a perfect moment, I've talked about in the first about Hagar, I will be a ring of fire around her, right? But then I do it about Ruth. I will put a ring around her finger.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, oh my gosh, that's perfect, God. You know, it goes from a ring of fire around Hagar, centuries later, a ring upon her finger, Ruth.
Yeah, so beautiful.
And, you know, those are things that are just gifts from God
when
you're under the inside. I can't write like that. I just can't. So when those moments happen, I always look up and I go, you are so good. Wow. Yeah. Wow, you are good, Lord. So I think that when we give Him the glory in all instances, it pleases Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father, streaming down from the heavenly realms, who does not change like shifting shadows.
Right. Amen.
I love that scripture because He doesn't change. Everything else, all our details, all the circumstances around, everything changes. The weather, the politics, but not our glorious God.
That's right.
So, yeah, when those things happen and He gives me an amazing... When I first heard Nicole in the studio when we got back to LA, to Nashville, and she didn't want to do what I'd written. She thought it was amazing, but she said, I can't talk about, you know. I said, just before you sing the stuff that we've written, just give me a little something about Hagar, a little intro to, you know, Ruth. And she said, No, I can't do that, Kathy. I don't know how to do that. I don't do that. And I looked at her, I said, honey, it's not that you don't do it or can't do it. It's that you just never have.
Yeah.
And let's see this as a really exciting time. God's doing a fresh new thing. This is turning into something we had no idea. And wow. I said, it's just a demo, honey. And it's only me and Sal here, you know, our producer, my producer and our engineers sitting at a little keyboard in front of the recording booth. And I said, just go in and, you know, nobody's going to hear it, see it, anything.
Yeah.
Because we can control. She says, okay. We prayed and she goes in. And that what you see in the God Who Sees is 95% the first take that she did in the studio. Hagar. Wow. When she said Hagar was a single mother. And I went, oh, buckle up.
Wow.
It was anointed. By the end, I was sobbing. I was on my face. And all I did was ask her for a few different, because I knew I was going to, I don't know what I was going to do with it, but I'm a writer. So I was saying, I need you to say, and oh, how he loved her. Something to be a segue to the next thing. But for the most part, her vocal was perfect. First take. First time she was seeing the material I'd written. And so we knew it was anointed of God. And I released it. First of all, after she did that, I said, you know what? I'm taking the money from my Rock Road and Rabbi book, all my royalties. There was like $500,000 in my little, what I call my kingdom account. And that book had been outrageously successful. It still is. It goes on and on. It's like an evergreen book, you know, for people that want to know how to start studying rabbinically. So they can understand what the Bible really says, not what we've been told through terrible translations for centuries. And I said, I'm going to take that money and I'm going to put it with a symphony. I'm going to get the Nashville Symphony Orchestra players. And so you can do this in your concerts with a symphony. And we did that. And it was so unbelievable that I said, all right, I'm taking the rest of the money and we're going to Israel. And I'm going to direct for the first time in my 55-year career. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to get that gorgeous face, that amazing body, that glorious voice on camera. And we went to Israel, we shot it, and it's up to, I know it's on YouTube alone, it's 7.5 million viewers, but it's well over 10 million in other areas that it's been released in. And if you look at the comments, even today, there would be a comment from somebody that sees it today and says, I was going to kill myself, but I somehow stumbled on this, or a friend played it for me, And I realized God does see me. And so that's what's so thrilling about the work I'm doing now with the way the movie, which is more oratorios, three more like The God Who Sees, and except different stories written with different composers and hosted by different people. I'm the narrator all through it, but I just sing a little tiny bit at the top. I'm not the performer in it. I didn't want to be in it at all. My performing days, I performed for 55 years, and I don't want to do it anymore. It's not. I want to write for brilliant other people that who bring their gifts to the fore and put them on camera and watch their dreams come true. I just love that. So, The Way is a 75-minute four oratorios film that takes you on a journey from the dawn of creation all the way through. In the New Testament, where Jesus says, get to his disciples, get into the boat and meet me on the other side. Because it's a call to the church, even though I don't do most of my work now for the church. It's written for non-believers.
Yes.
Most of my ministry, all my life, has been to non-believers. That's right. Who you meet on a movie set and a recording studio. And on a, you know, my career was always in the entertainment world, but that was also where my ministry was. And God gave me great, great, great opportunity everywhere to either talk privately with people or on the air. And millions of people heard the gospel because of it. Far more than if I'd become a ministry, a missionary in Africa, you know?
Right.
That's where God used me. And I've never been sorry. I obeyed his voice and said, I'm calling you to this, Kathy. I will supply everything you need, one day at a time, like manna. Just listen to and look to me. One day at a time, I'll give you everything you need. And he blessed me beyond belief because I was bold. He gave me a boldness to use it for his kingdom, and I used it. And I continue to use it. But now I get to use the gifts I was given as a child in my mother's womb. My acting, my singing, my writing, my directing now, which is just thrilling. I love being the captain of my own ship. And those visuals. Have you had a chance to see the movie yet?
Oh, I've watched the trailer. It is absolutely gorgeous. And
wait till you see the movie. Oh my gosh.
I can't wait. It's so beautiful. And the God of the Way, the book is goes with it, and it's wonderful as well.
Thank you.
A follow-up, really, to your other book with Rabbi Jason.
It's not the official follow-up. I'm actually going to Israel in September for the official second Rock Road to Rabbi book. It's similar in that it's about the Bible, and it's written by me and Rabbi together.
Okay. Yes.
But it's not the, it's their long awaited second book together. But okay, thank you. That's lovely. but it's not the sequel.
Okay.
No, it's not the sequel. No, okay. The next one's called Rock Road and Rabbi Again. The journey continues.
Oh,
and that is actually with a different rabbi and his wife.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
The next one will be with a different rabbi. It's a franchise we have now because it's been so successful. But I want to hear different voices.
Mm.
And we all have our own unique, extraordinary voice and our different storytelling abilities.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's so beautiful. If you haven't seen The God Who Sees, please go watch that. I mean, that's so beautiful. And it really was the impetus for what you're doing now with the Way and The God of the Way. And this film is so beautiful. And it's available to be streamed after its release.
Yeah, let me let people know, if you don't mind, Lisa.
Please do.
It's going to be a Fathom event. So you go to Fathom Events. .com.
Yes.
And you can find out where it's only a one night thing, September 1st.
Yes.
Buy tickets now so that you can, tell your church about it. Maybe churches could just sell out these theaters and demand that there are more days of it being seen, and then use it as an opportunity to take your unsaved on people that just, you love these people and you should, but they just don't know yet that God loves them.
Yes, yes.
You know, the world is so hurting. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of all people. And he meant what he said.
Yes.
Don't stay in your pew week after week hearing the same gospel preached. Just, it's fine. That's a part of your life, but don't let it be all of it. And then go into all the world. That means where people are hurting and hungry and broken and dirty and stink and everywhere Jesus went, and love people in his name. You want to change the world? Yeah, that's the way you change the world, by going to those people like Jesus did.
Yes.
So absolutely. And so take them. Just give them a gift of I don't know how much the Fathom tickets are. They're not outrageous by any means. I don't make any money off all of this. Everything goes back into my kingdom account so that I can keep doing work like this. But my coffers are empty. So if you love the movie, and I pray you will, pray for it, that it goes forward to all corners of the world. But pray that I continue to fill my coffers so I can continue. There are 1,000 more stories to tell in the Bible that I'm anxious to tell.
Mm.
And then this companion book that goes with it, The God of the Way, will, like The Rock, The Road, and The Rabble, will take you deeper into each story, like Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Joshua and Mary Magdalene and all of them. It's such a joy to dive deep into the wisdom and knowledge, the treasure trove of Scripture. So when you study what the Bible really says, and nobody's better at that than these people I study with, the Bible with. They're just, their knowledge is just like the sea. It just seems endless. But they've spent their whole lives studying what the Bible really says, not what a bad translation says. If we're doing that, if you're getting all of your food from a bad translation of the Bible, you are subsisting on junk food. It's like living on junk food, and eventually your spirit is going to be malnourished. You're going to be starved for truth. You're going to be lukewarm, and you're going to have fallen out of love with God.
That's a strong word. That's a strong word. I tell you, I love this work that you're doing. I love this new work. And in a way, it's not a new work. It's like, you know, when I hear about your life and I hear about all the things that you've done and I know what you're doing now, it's to me, it's just a continuation of this openness and willingness and yes, Lord, and I'll use my gifts and I am seeking first the kingdom of God. And this is something that any of us can do. And, you know, as you were talking about how the world was hard, one of the things that God has really put in my heart through, you know, talking to people about the difficulties of the world and the conversation. I mean, that's the conversation everyone is having, how weary everyone is, how hard everything
how
is.
How broken, yeah.
How broken. The one thing that has really, you know, the Lord has really put on me is Lisa, in that there's an opportunity. There's such a great opportunity me to be seen and known.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing through this, these great opportunities through The Way, the film, and God of the Way, and all of these things that you're doing, and the God who sees, and all of these things. And that's so beautiful because, you know, when people are hurting, they need the only person who can ever help.
Right.
And we are the ones that have that answer as believers in Jesus, and it's so powerful. You know, your book and the film are so important and meaningful for believers in Jesus. But those people who I think are looking for a way where there doesn't seem to be one in their life.
Right. So and they wouldn't go to church they wouldn't read the Bible in their hotel room. And they wouldn't, they'd scoff at these ministers on TV and they laugh and they, you know, they have no understanding that the Bible is alive. It's not a dead 5,000-year-old book. It is alive and active. And the stories in it are ripped from the headlines today. It's as relevant as it's ever, ever, ever been. And you are missing out on the journey of a lifetime. If you just look at it as some dead, you know, thing that's not worth reading. People who think the Bible is boring have never read it, and they've certainly never read it in its source material. I mean, you want sex, lives, and there was no videotape, but you know what I'm saying. you want the real housewives of the Old Testament and the
that's
New
right.
Testament. Baby, it's got it all.
I know.
And it's and God didn't sugarcoat it when it was being written. He told all the dirt on everybody. And it was so that we could see how clean we get afterwards.
Mm.
You know, there's no redemption without the dirt. You know, there just isn't.
Yeah,
we have to, our stories are so compelling because they are so filled with drama.
Yeah.
And breaking and brokenness and ache, breaking and aching and hurt and disappointment and discouragement and people ready to just do all kinds of horrible things out of desperation.
Yes.
And every single person I know can relate to that. We've all been there.
Yeah.
And many people listening to us right now, Lisa, are there that right now we should just lift them up to prayer. And Jesus, we do right now.
Yes.
If people are listening to this, Father, help them to understand that you are the God who not only sees them, but you collect our tears, Father, in a bottle, you know, and you hear their cries in the wilderness.
Yes.
And they're crying out to you for whatever their heart's needs and desires are, Lord. We pray for each individual that's experiencing that right now, Lord. May they go to the God who sees on YouTube. Maybe they be touched to understand that they're no different from Hagar or Ruth or David or Mary Magdalene. They are precious to you, and you long to redeem them. You love them, Lord, with an all-consuming love. You are the Father of family. You are the Father of marriage. You are the Father of the individual who loves his children. So, Father, we pray for each person. I thank you for Lisa and her ministry. I pray for the Way and the God of the Way, that it will go to all the corners of the earth, Lord, in your name, and reap a harvest of souls for your kingdom, in Jesus' name.
Wow. Oh, thank you for that so much. I just want to tell you this on a personal note. I just want to say this to you. You know, I get a lot of pitches for a lot of people for this show, and I get pitched a lot of famous people, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to tell you that I don't have a lot of people on my show that are just because they're famous, because I don't believe in the hype of that in the Mm-mm. sense of like, I don't care about that for my show.
No, neither does God.
this show is called Jesus Over Everything. And it's not just a show name for me. It is really what I want to be.
It's the essence of who you are.
It's what I want it to mm-hmm. be, the essence of who I am. I will tell you that. And so, but I want you to know that the reason why I wanted you on this show when your name came across my desk was because I've watched your life, and I've watched you on social media, and I've observed, and I've seen how you make Jesus famous. And that meant the world to me. And it was with such joy and honor when I was going to get the opportunity to talk to you because of that reason.
Praise
so
God.
I want you to know that. And
praise
I want to
God.
Say that personally to you on this show.
That means everything to me, because that's the essence of me too, Lisa. The same way, you know, the Bible doesn't say, you know, in him we go to visit once a week. And in him we hear about us, what he did. And in him we sing a song. And in him we sing a hymn.
Right.
And it says, in him we live and move and have our being.
Yes.
It's every moment of our lives is our life's prayer to the God of our life.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're doing what you're supposed to do, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And we, instead of the world of Christianity, which has done what we're not supposed to do, which is judge people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are more people that do not follow Jesus because of Jesus' followers.
Mm.
I cannot tell you how many people have said to me, no person of faith has ever told me that they love me.
Mm.
I said, well, then you haven't met a person of faith yet.
Yeah.
If somebody isn't loving you because of their love for Jesus, they don't love Jesus.
Mm.
It's just as simple as that. They don't love Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know, the reason we do is because he first loved us, right?
Yeah, yes.
And we have to share it. We have to, or will the stones cry out?
Yes, that's so true. This has been such a joy to have you on. And I want everybody to go experience this film. I want you to, if you don't get a chance to be able to go the day that it's released, a Fathom film or a Fathom, I want you to go stream it. Go get the book, certainly, The God of the Way. I just have one last question, and I ask it of every single guest.
Okay.
What is the last thing that you would say about Jesus if you could only say one more thing?
Thank you for everything.
Thank you, Kathy Lee, for being on the show. It's been a joy and an honor. And thank you for how you've allowed God to use your life. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Same to you. Lord bless you. Shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to us wherever you get podcasts. Jesus Over Everything is a production of Joe Productions. Executive producer Lisa Whittle. Produced and edited by Lainey Thomas. Art by Noelle Rhodes. My new co-hosted show with Jamie Ivey for Parents called Launch debuts on August 11th. Subscribe to it right now wherever you get podcasts so you don't miss a single show in our brand new season 1.